Loving God, open our eyes to see and ears to hear your call for our life. And open our hearts this day that we might be attuned to what you're calling us to do, to be, and to be part of. For you call us all to ministry, sometimes in small things like special weekends, in special letter writing, in special gifts, but sometimes in big things in terms of lifestyle changes and career. So whatever our call might be, Lord, open our hearts and soften us up that we might hear who you are and what you have planned for us. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's let me tell you, it's a tough day to be a preacher in this place. If you heard the anthem today, you know, sit down, Bill, and let them do it again. That's what you ought to be saying. And if that isn't enough, you should have those little kids come back in and stomp your feet and clap your hands and lay your burdens at Jesus' feet. And I think we just need the benediction and leave. But I'm kind of bound to say a few words today. You know, this is our season of preparation for Easter, for new life. Often when we think about that, we think about how we prepare for new life within our hearts. And in our faith, we know how powerful our individual relationship with Christ is, how we receive and know and live that love. But also in this time of Lent, this preparation for Easter, it's important for us to also know how we are called into ministry, called by God into following the teachings and the ways of Christ Jesus. You know, often when we begin Lent, one of the first readings we do is the reading about Jesus in the desert. When Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert and he wrestled with evil, if you will, Satan, as we sometimes call him. And at the very end of that, you know, this evil offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, anything that you wanted. And Jesus' response to that was this: "Away from me, you evil, for it is written, worship the Lord your God only and serve only him." Serve only him. In our time of preparation for Easter, it is important to prepare our hearts to receive that new life and love that can come in here, but also to take this time and opportunity to look at how we are to be those who serve God, and he is the one that we serve fully in who we are. Sometimes in new lifestyles and new vocations, but sometimes right where we are at, God speaks to us and calls to us in many ways. Often when we hear the term serve, how are we to serve? We think how that can be difficult, right? We're to serve somebody or serve something and how that might be a burden. But did you hear Jesus in the gospel lesson today? Jesus says, "Those who come to me, my burdens are light." My burden. Now, that's kind of an oxymoron, right? Burdens are burdens. Burdens are heavy. But Jesus says, no. My yoke is light. My burden is light. If you take my burden on, there's more to there than just a load to carry. That there's something about possibility and love and hope and joy. Those things that make our life full. Not just to carry responsibility and what we should obey, but there's something about that lifts us up. So I want to begin this morning by describing some burdens. What if? Somebody came to you and said, "Like, we got a burden y'all need to do at the church. I want you to come to the church on a weekend, and for 30 hours, I want you not to eat. Can I have some hands to volunteer for that?" No, I got a few in back. 30 hours not to eat. I want you to just drink water and juice. And during that 30 hours, you're going to have some intensive Bible study. You're going to get into your Bible. There are going to be some crazy young adults there to lead you through some strange things that you're going to do. You're going to have to think about huge problems in the world. Problems that are downright depressing. I mean, starvation and hunger issues. You're going to have to sleep on hard concrete floors. And at 7 a.m. in the morning, somebody with a bugle is going to come and wake you up. During those 30 hours, we want you to take 29,000 cut-out little people like you see there and on the cross. And we want you to staple all 29,000 of them to little paper that we're going to hang in the sanctuary. And here's the weird part. On Sunday morning, we want you to stand up in front of over 200 people and tell them that you liked it and you can't wait to do it again. Now, believe it or not, for those of you who weren't here 2 weeks ago, that's exactly what happened. I just described a burden I don't want to be part of. I didn't fast that weekend. I'm a wimp. I don't do that stuff. But that's a burden. Don't eat. Think about depressing stuff. Do some scripture lessons. You know, wake up at 7 in the morning, sleep on the floor, all that awful stuff. That's a burden. And yet, when those young people talk to us about that, some who are not even church members, don't go to church, some are from different churches, witness to us about that, you know, they could not wait to tell us how exciting that was. Take up my yoke, for my burden is light. Let me tell you another story. What if, this is what I want you to do. When you grow up, I want you to go to a job, get a good degree. How about engineering? Is that a pretty good degree? You know, you can do a lot of good stuff and make some good money, good lifestyle. I want you to study engineering, and I want you to go into the nuclear engineering field. Does that sound familiar? For those of you here last Sunday, you remember this. I want you to be a nuclear engineer. And when you get out of college, you're going to have a wonderful career for a company. You're going to travel all over the country. You're going to travel all over the world. You're going to start your own business. Sell it at a nice profit. You're going to start another business. And you get to eat at nice places. You get to buy as much stuff for you and your family that you could ever think or want. But then something happens. And it kind of falls through. Your business doesn't make it, and you kind of have to sell it, and you're kind of lost. The rug's pulled out from underneath you. This is what I want you to do. And in 6 months, you're not going to have a job. How many would like that? You talk about burden. 6 months, I want you not to have a job. And then with this group that you're a part of, I want you offhandedly to say, well, you know, if this doesn't work, I'll take that job. And so somebody offers you a job at half the pay. And not only is it half the pay you used to make, that not only you will have to raise the money to pay your salary by asking people to give it to you, not for any service, to give it to you. Then I want you to recruit doctors and nurses to work for free. And then I want you to talk to pharmaceutical companies and ask them to give you prescription drugs for people who can't afford it for free. And instead of working with the powerful executives of our society, you're going to have to work with people who are poor and who can't afford it, who can't even afford health care for themselves or their family. And now, here's the weird part. Then, on a Sunday morning, I want you to stand up in front of 200 people in church and say, I like it. It's made my life more than I could ever imagine. My burden is light. When we dare to listen to what God asks us to do, especially in ways that are contradictory to what the society around us tells us we ought to do. When we dare to listen and open our hearts to what God wants us to do, amazing, powerful things can happen. When we are open to God's discipleship and transforming power of love. You know, high school students, what do you guys do on weekends? You have a good time, right? You know, think about that. When we dare to listen, God transforms from what is normal to what is not normal, but is powerful. And what for those of us who are involved in career things, what's the objective? To get there, to get more, to be successful, right? It's not to back off and make less. And yet, 2 weeks ago, God took 30 junior high and high school students here, opened them up to a discussion about discipleship and transformation. And they became the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus in this place. And there'll be hungry children all over the world that will have food because of what they did. And they have started a journey on their own to say, we're going to learn what it means to follow Jesus and help and live that gospel out. And our burden will be light because we know more than just making our own way. When we dare to open our hearts and love and ways of God, it takes a nuclear engineer, a businessman, and a really good marketing guy, smart guy, to take a cut in pay and to be a director of a not-for-profit health clinic in Waukegan, and to know that's better than anything else he has ever done. When we dare to listen and open our ears and mind and heart to what God calls us to do, it is a wonderful and a powerful thing. So today, in the next 3 weeks, I want us to think about what it means for us to listen and to commit ourselves to that call from God as we approach Easter. For some of us, I believe here today, that call might be transforming into another arena in life. For others, it might be a little volunteer opportunity someplace. It might be a weekend someplace. It might be somebody special at work we need to look at or in the neighborhood that we need to care for. But when we begin to listen to what God calls us to do, wonderful and awesome things happen. Today, I just want to end briefly on three ways, three suggestions about listening for God's call. First of all, just like when Jesus went into the desert, just like when our youth fasted for 30 hours, and just like when Jim Zimmerman, our preacher last week, had to not have a job for six months, each of those events asked people to slow down. Are any of you traveling at Mach 1 these days? 120 miles an hour. You know, you get up on Monday morning and whoosh, it's Friday evening before you know it. And the weekend you get all that honey-do list to do, right? Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. What would it mean for us in some way to slow down what we are doing? God has always spoken to people when they slow down. God told Elijah, you want to hear that still small voice of who I am? Go to a cave. Go to a cave. There's not much you can do in a cave. You got to slow down. Jesus went to the desert. And I know we have responsibilities and things we are part of, work, activities, families, we're running here and there, but what would it mean for us to prioritize just a little and carve out some slow time in our lives? For some of us, you know, perhaps we are retired and we're not physically moving at Mach 1 like others of us are. What would it mean for us to mentally slow down for a while? Do any of you worry about anything? Man, don't you move at Mach 1 then? You know, you've worried about the world and how you're going to solve anything, and suddenly 30 seconds has passed by. We move fast. What would it mean for us not just to physically slow down, but to mentally slow down? And take a day and don't worry. Take a half hour and don't worry. Just say, Pastor told me to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't like it. Don't want to, you know, but just slow down for a while. Or what about emotionally if we slow down? Again, that worry, again, that concern, that fear, that anger, that resentment, that unforgiveness we're talking about on Monday night class. Don't we get ourselves wound up and move at Mach 1 in our emotions sometimes? What would it mean for us to say, we're just going to slow that down? And I've got some stuff here that emotions are whamming at me, but I'm, you know, Pastor said, put it on the shelf for a half hour. What would it mean for us to begin that routine, that practice of slowing down? So first of all, this season, we want to slow down. Secondly, intentionally talk with God. Some of you I know have powerful prayer lives, better than my own. Use that. Be intentional about your prayer times. If you don't pray in conventional ways, when you walk, when you work out, when you wash the dishes, take a little piece of that time and just listen or talk to God about stuff. God, what do you want me to do? Get involved a little more in looking at your Bible. It is a gift. It's not an obligation to read that book. Read that book and maybe carve out some quiet time. Intentionally talk with God about things. Talk with God in terms of current events. God speaks to us in terms of what's going on. All of our preachers the last 2 weeks talked about needs in the world and how God spoke through those. When you talk with God, argue with God. Did you ever think you'd hear a preacher say that? Argue with God. Look at the Old Testament, folks. Moses, he argued with God because it was a legitimate discussion. And God can break that down. You know, God's got big shoulders. He's not going to be offended if you argue with him. That's okay. But talk with God about what you need to do. Finally, and this may be the most critical piece, slow down, talk to God, talk to others. Talk to your community about stuff. Talk to your family. If you have an idea about something, make sure you're on communication with them. You know, if I've been in, somebody mentioned I had a birthday coming up. And I've been in ministry close to a little over 20 years now. And obviously, when you're a pastor, you do a lot of stuff local church, but also you're called to do stuff past the local church to help in other organizations and agencies and those kinds of things. You know, for the first 10, 15 years, there were some committees and teams that I was asked to be part of in the conference. And I thought, well, you know, that would be a pretty good idea. I'd get to know the other ministers pretty well, work on issues I was concerned about. And I just said yes. I didn't talk to anybody about it. Didn't hurt anything. But in the two major agencies I was asked to be part of, turned out I couldn't make the meetings. I didn't seem to connect. And some, it should have been a gimme. I should have walked in and be able to be very useful just off the bat, off the cuff. Didn't work. And after a year in each of them, I just kind of quit and avoided people on that committee. You know what I mean? Didn't want to be seen because I didn't fulfill that. Well, this last, about a year and a half ago, I'm sitting at a clergy association meeting. You know, that's our pastor's association. That's priests, deacons, ministers. Recently, Rabbi Weiss has been part of it, and we have a representative from the mosque that's been coming, so we can build those relationships. I'm sitting there in the spring, and the president ends. It's our last meeting of the year before the summer. The president ends, and he says, our nominations committee is getting together. And as soon as he said that, I've got one foot towards the door, right? He right at the meeting's over, he comes to me and says, Bill, would you be interested in being part of the leadership for next year? I laughed. Not big, because he's a real nice man. I respect him. I chuckled. I said, no, I got plenty to do. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. I left. In 2 weeks, Pastor Harriet from Our Saviors calls me, and she was on the nominations team. I didn't run fast enough. And she says, Bill, we'd like you to be president of that association. I guffawed. I almost fell on the floor laughing. You've got to be kidding. You know, I told you I didn't want to do it. And I barely came to the meetings, and I never paid my dues. What is that about? But, you know, they're really good people, and I respected them a lot. And I said, you know, why did I even come up? I don't even get that. And we kind of discussed it, and I kind of thought, I'd been here for 6 years, is my time, you know? I mean, and that's the last reason I want to do anything, that I've been around too long, right? So, I don't think I will, but I will call Larry and just, you know, tell him and just ask him, why in the world did you... Well, I called Larry, and Larry said, he was on the phone, he was on a cell phone in the car, and I said, why in the world would you think I'd be president? And he said, well, Bill, when you come to meetings, every time we have a discussion about diversity and working together, you're passionate. Okay. Well, let me get back to you on that. So, I talked to people in the church, and I got a number of opinions about that. Because I thought, you know, if I'm going to do something outside of the church, this is my major primary responsibility. I have a concern about what happens here if I'm doing something else. So I talked to people in the church, and some it was mixed. Some thought yes, some thought no. One individual who I work with closely with a lot said, you know, I think that'd kind of be exciting and even help our church. Okay. But then I had the ace card, you know. Here's a way to sabotage it. Here's a way to let it go. I went and talked to my wife. And I know... You know, Bill, we got 3 teenage kids. You know, mom's still living with us. You're helping take care of her. You got plenty to do at the church. I know what she's going to say. It's set up. So I... What did she say? No, it's right. I know. You're exactly right. But I went to her and waiting to hear, you know, we're just really busy with stuff. You got this, you got that, da da da. So I said, you know, you're going to hear this. It's a funny thing. They've asked me to be president. And I'm waiting for the list. Well, Bill, that's you. That's what you're concerned about. I said, Lord, turn it off. I get the message. Now, as president, pretty much I call meetings, get the agenda together. But what's happened has been amazing. Is we argued and stood for the daycare center down at Our Savior. You just saw an article in the paper with that. We as clergy, and again, I'm just calling meetings. I'm not doing much of anything else. We as clergy have met together and asked how we can support each other from different traditions in a career that sometimes is hard. We have to do funerals and do hard things. We had a priest that had a really hard thing happen to them. Some of you may know that in the news. Remember that from the fall. He came to our meetings. And we sit down in serious and honesty and said, how do we care for each other so that doesn't happen to the rest of us? You know, we've had speakers on immigration. We have speakers on issues of peace in our society. How do we stand for that? In 2 months, we're going to have some therapists come and talk to us. How do we as pastors pastor to those who are soldiers who come back from the war with post-traumatic stress syndrome? This summer, we want to have a picnic so we can get to know each other. I mean, you know, if I said, you know, Larry, you're crazy. Don't call me, and I'm not coming to any meetings again. Well, actually, I did tell him, you know, if you're going to nominate me to be president, I'm going to start paying my dues. That's hard. I didn't pay my dues, and I'd become president. But do you remember the service we had here, Christian Unity? How powerful and exciting that was, not for just the community, but for us as a church, and how we are opening ourselves up to diversity. All the clergy would be invited to go and be part of the Holocaust Memorial Service at the synagogue. You know, when we listen and do little things, that's all it is. God answers that call. But you got to listen to others as well. It's not just you and God. I don't have a telephone. I can speak directly to him. But I got a lot of little phones, and you're all sitting here. As we think about how you need to be called, what God wants you to do, I want you to remember these. First, slow down. I can guarantee you everybody in this room is going too fast. And God can't catch up with you. God can't catch up with you. Slow down. Physically, you know, mentally and emotionally, slow down and give God a little space to tell you something. Secondly, talk with God about it. Argue with God about it. Yell to God about it. Make sure you don't know too many people around when you do that. But feel free to do that. God wants that discussion. But be intentional about talking. And finally, talk to others. When we do it in that way, I believe amazing things can happen. Finally, next week, please come back. Next week, we want to talk about what does it mean for us to be powerful people of faith, that you can do it. You can be an awesome gift, not just in your family or community, but for God. There are countless examples of little things that have happened that have transformed lives, communities, and even nations. And when we realize we are powerful with God's grace, awesome, amazing things can happen. So remember, slow down, talk to God, talk to others. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for this time of preparation for Easter, for new life. We ask that you touch each of us this day. Slow us down so you can catch up with us and talk to us. Secondly, open up a line of communication that we can talk with you, be it exercising, jogging, doing dishes, praying, Bible study. But give us a way to talk to you. And finally, Lord, help us consult each other in our decisions. Because wisdom comes together. You give your voice to others around us. So touch us, bless us, open our life to your call. And finally, Lord, bring us back next week that we might know how significant and powerful we might be as individuals and as church. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for our closing hymn?